Tape recorded message number 455, TL 455, Otis Q. Sellers, Bible Teacher. I greet you in the faith and fellowship of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are, whom we love, and whom we serve. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Judges, a record of the judges that ruled in Israel. And in our last study, we gave due consideration to the judgeship of Gideon, one of the most interesting characters in all the Bible. But we came to the place where Gideon passed away. In chapter 8, verse 32, it says, Gideon, the son of Joash, died in a good old age. He was buried in the sepulcher of Joash, his father, in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. Then we're told it came to pass that as soon as Gideon was dead, that the children of Israel turned again and went a-whoring after Balaam, and made Baal-berith their god. And the children of Israel remembered not the Lord their God, who had delivered them out of the hands of all their enemies on every side. Neither showed they any kindness the house of Jerubbaal. That's another name for Gideon, because we're told here that this was his name, namely Gideon, according to all the goodness which he had showed unto Israel. How soon people forget, and how quickly they can turn away from the Lord when the circumstances are right. Then in chapter 9 we come to the record that Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal, Abimelech was the son of Gideon. He went to Shechem unto his mother's brethren, and communed with them and with all their family of the house of his mother's father, saying, Speak, I pray you, in the ears of all the men of Shechem, whether it is better for you, either that all the sons of Jerubbaal, which are 70 persons, reign over you, or that one reign over you. Remember also I am at your bone and your flesh. The suggestion is that if a member of the family was ruling, that the family would be highly favored. That's the suggestion he makes. Then in verse 3, his mother's brethren spake of him in the ears of all the men of Shechem all these words. And their hearts inclined to follow Abimelech, for they said, He is our brother, and he will certainly do more for us than what someone strange to us or not related to us would do. So they gave him 70 pieces of silver out of the house of Baal-berith, that was their god. And with this Abimelech hired vain and light persons which followed him. These were empty people who had no weight whatsoever, but always willing to follow in the hope of getting something. They became his followers. Now here was the terrible thing that he did. He went unto his father's house at Ophrah, and slew his brethren, the sons of Jerubbaal, being 70 persons. 70 is 20, 10 makes it 70. So 70 persons upon one stone. They were not equipped to offer any resistance, and he fully prepared to put them to death. He slew these people with one stone. However, there was one exception. Notwithstanding yet, Jotham, the youngest son of Jerubbaal, was left, for he hid himself. Here was a man who said, it's not my time to die. And not that I am suggesting that there's some set time for everyone to die, and yet there is a time to die, and this man was just not going to give in this easy. It was just not a time to simply lay down your life to avoid conflict. So he hid himself, and all the men of Shechem gathered together, and all the house of Millo, and went. They made Abimelech king by the plain of the pillar that was in Shechem. Now when they told it to Jotham, he went and stood on the top of Mount Gerizim. And now the record becomes exceedingly important. For right here, we are going to get what we call a satirical story. It is really not a parable, although to a certain extent it is a parable, but it is especially interesting for us, for we who study the literary type of literary character, the Bible. Now, this is a satirical fable, and you'll remember I said in my book on the rich man and Lazarus that in order to appreciate any satire, one must be completely familiar with the thing that is being satirized. Now, this is very easy in the case of Jotham's satire, for the actual event that caused it to be spoken, as well as the background for the event, is given in detail in the scripture. Let's just review the facts now. The man Gideon, this great and good man, he had placed the people of Israel forever in debt to him because of his deliverance of them from the bitter bondage of the Midianites. Now, his grateful countrymen offered to make him king, but he declined. Nevertheless, he served Israel as captain and judge throughout the rest of his life. Now, at the time of his death, he had 40 sons, for he had many wives. Also one son, Abimelech, by a concubine. And after Gideon's death, his good works were quickly forgotten, and his house and his family were sorely neglected. Now, soon after his death, Abimelech, who was his son by a concubine, went to his mother's brethren in Shechem and intimated that the 40 sons of Gideon were going to take over the government of Israel. And as is so often the case, he had a prearranged solution for the false alarm he had raised. You'll often see that today. People raise a terrible alarm, and then they tell you, I've got the solution for this difficulty. All you have to do is to send me your money and it'll all be taken care of. That's the way that they work. Well, this man Abimelech, he had a prearranged solution for the false alarm that he had raised. He asked if it were better to be reigned over by 40, or just to be reigned by one. And at the same time, he suggested himself as the one who should be the sole ruler in Israel. Now, his words that accompanied this suggestion, these are the words, remember also that I am your bone and your flesh. They were nothing more than a promise that all of these people would enrich themselves at public expense when he became king. So the men of Shechem, they supplied him with money, with which he hired some worthless and reckless followers, and in true dictatorial fashion he went to his father's house in Ophrah and killed 39 of his brethren upon one stone. Only one, Jotham by name, was able to hide himself and escape. Following this, the men of Shechem made Abimelech king, and a report of this was brought to Jotham. Now, upon hearing it, Jotham went and stood in the top of Mount Gerizim and cried aloud, "Hearken unto me, ye men of Shechem, that God may hearken unto you." Now, this man had something to say, and his purpose was to hold up their sin to exposure and ridicule and condemnation. Now, the method that he chose to do this resulted in one of the oldest and of the finest satirical fables to be found in all the literature. Now, what he will say here never happened, but he will tell it exactly as if it did happen. But it is satire. And again I say, there it has no equal in all literature, as far as my opinion goes. Now let's look at his words. Here's what he says. Verse 8. The trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them. Now you can imagine the trees moving. Characteristic of true trees is that they don't move unless someone moves them. But he sets forth the picture of the trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them. Well, they said unto the olive tree, "You reign over us." But the olive tree said unto them, "Why should I leave my fatness? wherewith by me they honor God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees. Well, the trees said to the fig tree, Come thou and reign over us. But the fig tree said unto them, Should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit, and go to be promoted over the trees? Well, they stepped down a little, and they came to the vine. And they said, Come thou and reign over us. And the vine said unto them, Should I leave my wine, which cheereth God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? Well, then said all the trees unto the bramble, Come thou and reign over us. And the bramble said unto the trees, If in a truth ye anoint me king over you, then come and put your trust in my shadow. Now, just imagine here a bramble vine having any shadow to offer people at all. But he says, if you anoint me king over you, then come and put your trust in my shadow. And if not, then let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. So this is the character of the bramble. Now there, if you've done truly and sincerely, and that you have made Abimelech king. Now, remember here that Jotham is speaking to the people that made Abimelech king. Now, therefore, if ye have done truly and sincerely, and that you've made Abimelech king, and if you have dealt well with Jerubbaal and his house, and have done unto him according to the deserving of his hands, and he reminds them, My father fought for you. He adventured his life far, and delivered you out of the hands of Midian. And you're risen up this day against my father's house. You have slain his sons 70 persons upon one stone, and have made Abimelech, the son of his maidservant, king over the men of Shechem, because he is your brother. If ye then have dealt truly and sincerely with Jerubbaal and with his house this day, then rejoice ye in Abimelech, and let him also rejoice in you. But if not, let fire come out from Abimelech, and devour the men of Shechem, and the house of Millo. And let fire come out from the men of Shechem, and the house of Millo, and devour Abimelech. Well, Joshua ran away and fled, and he went to Beer, and dwelt there for fear of Abimelech his brother. Well, when Abimelech had reigned 3 years over Israel, then God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem. I do not believe that this was a spirit being, but just simply that God himself stirred up a mistrust, we might say a hatred, between Abimelech and the men of Shechem. And the men of Shechem, they dealt treacherously with Abimelech. That the cruelty done to the 70 sons of Jerubbaal might come, and their blood be laid upon Abimelech their brother, which slew them, and upon the men of Shechem, which aided him in the killing of his brethren. And the men of Shechem set liers in wait for him in the top of the mountains, and they robbed all that came along that way by them, and it was told Abimelech. So they have set themselves here to robbing these men of Shechem, robbing everyone that came that way. In 26 we read, And Gaal the son of Ebed came with his brethren, went over to Shechem, and the men of Shechem put their confidence in him. And they went out in the fields, and they gathered their vineyards, and they trod the grapes, and made merry, went in the house of their god, and they did eat and drink, and they cursed Abimelech. And Gaal the son of Ebed said, Who is Abimelech, and who is Shechem, that we should serve him? Is not he the son of Jerubbaal, and Zebul his officer, served the men of Haman the father of Shechem? For why should we serve him? And would to God this people were under my hand, then I would that I remove Abimelech. And he said to Abimelech, You increase your army and come out. That's the declaration of war. And when Zebul, the ruler of the city, heard the words of Gaal, the son of Ebed, his anger was kindled. And he sent messengers unto Abimelech privately saying, privately means secretly saying, behold Gaal, the son of Ebed, and his brethren be come to Shechem, and behold, they fortify the city against thee. Now therefore up by night, thou and the people is with thee, and lie in wait in the field. And it shall be that in the morning, as soon as the sun is up, thou shalt rise early and set upon the city. Behold, when he and the people that is with him come out against thee, then may thou doest with them as thou shalt find occasion. Well, we read in verse 34 that Abimelech rose up. All the people were with him by night. They laid wait against Shechem in four companies. And Gaal, the son of Ebed, went out and stood in the entering of the gate of the city. And Abimelech rose up, and the people were with him from lying in wait. And when Gaal saw the people, he said to Zebul, behold, there come people down the top of the mountains. And Zebul said unto him, you seest the shadow of the mountains if they were men. Early in the morning, sun from behind them, mountain would cast a shadow. And the answer that this one gets, you see the shadow of the mountains if they were men. And Gaal spake again and said, see, there come people down by the middle of the land. Another company, along by the plains, Meana and him. Then said Zebul unto him, where is now thy mouth, wherewith thou saidest, who is Abimelech that we should serve him? Is not this the people that thou hast despised? Go out, I pray now, and fight with them. And Gaal went out before the men of Shechem, and fought with Abimelech. And Abimelech chased him, and he fled before them, and many were overthrown and wounded, even under the entering the gate. And Abimelech dwelt at Arumah. And Zebul thrust out Gaal and his brethren, that they should not dwell in Shechem. Came to pass on the morrow, that the people went out in the field, and they told Abimelech. He took the people and divided them into three companies, and laid wait in the field, and looked, and behold, the people were come forth out of the city. He rose up against them, and he smote them. And Abimelech and the companies with him rushed forward and stood in the entering the gate of the city. The two other companies ran upon all the people in the fields and slew them. And Abimelech fought against the city all that day. And he took the city and slew the people was therein and beat down the city, and he sowed it with salt, which would destroy all planting for many years until this salt had leached out. When all the men of the Tower of Shechem heard that, they entered into a hold of the house of the god Bereth. And it was told Abimelech that all the men of the Tower of Shechem were gathered together. Pardon me. And Abimelech gat him up to Mount Zalmon. He and all the people were with him. And Abimelech took an axe in his hand and cut down a bough from the trees. He took it and laid it on his shoulder, and said unto the people with him, what ye have seen me do, make haste and do as I have done. This is the oldest art in the world, the art of camouflage. That is, what they're doing is camouflaging themselves. All the people likewise cut down every man his bough, and followed Abimelech, and put them to the hold, and set the hold on fire upon them, so that all the men of the Tower of Shechem died also, about 1,000 men and women. Then went Abimelech to Thebes, and encamped against Thebes, and took. But there was a strong tower within the city, and thither fled all the men, and all the women of the city, and shut it to them. And they got them to the top of the tower. And Abimelech fought against it, and went hard unto the door of the tower to burn it with fire. And a certain woman cast a piece of millstone upon Abimelech's head, and all to break his skull. So he called hastily unto the young man his armor-bearer. He said unto him, draw thy sword, and slay me, that men may not say of me, a woman slew him. and his young man thrust him through, and he died. And when the men of Israel saw that Abimelech was dead, they departed every man unto his place. Thus God rendered the wickedness of Abimelech, which he did unto his father, in slaying his 70 brethren. And all the evil of the men of Shechem did God render upon their heads, and upon them came the curse of Jotham, the son of Jerubbaal, the curse that he pronounced when he gave the story, the satirical story, of the trees going out to make a king over them. So let us not forget this satirical fable. Then if we did, I call it a fable, but not to treat it as a parable, then we'd have to find some parallel for every symbol that's in it. Now we'll have no problem with this story if we will just know that it concerns the bramble and it points powerfully and directly to Abimelech. But the rest of this fable fits nothing in history as far as is known. However, if we consider this to be a suppositional story told in a satirical manner, then we are not required to find parallels for the leading actors and events that we find in the story of the trees that went forth to make a king over them. In fact, this story in no way fits the course of Abimelech. The men of Shechem had not gone out looking for a strong and good man to be king over them. They'd gone out looking for a strong and good man to be king over them. Then, upon being refused with three such men, they offer the kingship to an incompetent as a final resort. You see, it was Abimelech that sought the position. The position did not seek him. It was not a case of the bramble being asked by the trees, but just the reverse. Therefore, we cannot treat this as a parable, as Schofield suggests in his marginal notes. This must be recognized as a satirical fable. Some will even be able to detect a humorous strain in it when the bramble bush, as we saw, is made to say to the trees, "Then come and put your trust in my shadow." Just imagine, if you can, one of the great cedars of Lebanon finding refuge from the hot sun in the shade of a bramble bush. It is a marvelous story, and we should be well acquainted with this, because we certainly come upon a like suppositional story, a satirical record, when we come to the story of the rich man and Lazarus in the New Testament, as my pamphlet on that carefully points out. Now, in chapter 10, we come to the seventh judge by the name of Tola. We do not know very much about him. We read that after Abimelech, there arose to defend Israel Tola, the son of Puah, the son of Dodah, a man of Issachar. And he dwelt in Shamar in Mount Ephraim. He judged Israel 23 years. He died, and he was buried in Shamar. Then we come to the eighth judge. We know very little about him. But after him arose Jair, a Gileadite. He judged Israel 22 years. To judge means is he made the laws. What laws were needed? People always changing. Sometimes new regulations are needed. But he enforced the laws and interpreted the laws. And so these men were really kings in Israel, although they were never anointed, and they were never crowned, and they just bear the name of being judges. And yet they rule. Now, this man, Jair, he had 30 sons. They rode on 30 colts of the asses, the donkeys, called the ass at that time. They had 30 cities, which are called Havoth Jair. This term means the villages of Jair unto this day. which are in the land of Gilead. That is the day when the book of Judges was written. Jair died and was buried in Kamon. Now comes another apostasy. Now the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And they served Balaam and Ashtaroth and the gods of Syria, the gods of Zidon, the gods of Moab, the gods of children of Ammon, the gods of the Philistines. They forsook Jehovah, Yahweh, and they served not him. I suppose the people of Israel looked at these various people and they thought they're doing well. There's no famine there. They're at peace. They're growing and conquering. This comes from their gods and we should serve them. They were looking for what they might get out of it. So the record is that they forsook Jehovah and they served not him. In verse 7, we're told that the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. He sold them in the hands of the Philistines, the hands of the children of Ammon. And that year they vexed and oppressed the children of Israel, 18 years. All the children of Israel that was on the other side Jordan, in the land of the Amorites, which is Gilead. Moreover, the children of Ammon passed over Jordan to fight also against Judah, and against Benjamin, and against the house of Ephraim, so that Israel was sore distressed. Now the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, that's Yahweh, Jehovah Savior. They cried unto the Lord, saying, we have sinned against thee, both because we have forsaken our God, and we have also served Balaam. And the Lord said to the children of Israel, did not I deliver you from the Egyptians? Didn't I deliver you from the Amorites, the children of Ammon, and from the Philistines, the Zidonians also, the Amalekites, the Maonites did oppress you, and you cried to me, and I delivered you out of their hand. Yet you have forsaken me and served other gods, wherefore I will deliver you no more. Now, God makes this declaration to them and says, I will simply deliver you no more. Go and cry unto the gods which you have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation. This is ironical, it's irony, for God to say, go and cry unto the gods which you have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation. But the children of Israel said unto the Lord, that's Yahweh, we have sinned. Do thou unto us whatever seemeth good unto thee. Deliver us only, we pray thee, this day. So they put away the strange gods from before among them, and they served Jehovah, and his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. Wherever you find the word soul in Scripture, it is always connected with the emotions. So much so that highly emotional people are called in the Bible as being soulish. And here even Jehovah, it says his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. The only reason that anyone can grieve is because they have the character of soul. Not that they have a soul, but they have that character of soul. You see, if a man is strong, it's because he has strength. And he can do mighty things because he has that strength. And if man does not have the character of soul, he could never know joy, he could never feel sorrow, he could never know pain or regret, none of these things. And that is the aspect, one of the aspects of what we are. We are souls. Not that we have souls, we are souls. So his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. This is Yahweh. Then the children of Ammon were gathered together, and they encamped in Gilead. Children of Israel assembled themselves together, and they camped in Mizpah. And the people, the princes of Gilead, said one to another, what man is he that will begin to fight against the children of Ammon? He shall be head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. Well, there's a man for the time, and the time was to war. So Jephthah, interesting character. Spell here Jephthah. He's mentioned as one of the heroes of the faith in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. He's the Gileadite who was a mighty man of valor, and he was a son of a harlot. Not much by way of birth, but he was a mighty man of bravery, and Gilead begat Jephthah. So he was the son. And Gilead's wife bare him sons. And his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah, said unto him, Thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, not have any portion, for you are the son of a strange woman, a foreign woman. Then Jephthah fled from his brethren, and dwelt in the land of Tob. And there were gathered vain men to Jephthah, and they went out with him. And it came to pass in the process of time, the children of Ammon made war against Israel. And so it was, when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. And they said unto Jephthah, Come and be our captain, that we may fight against the children of Ammon. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, Did you not hate me and expel me out of my father's house? And why are you come unto me now when you are in distress? The elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, Therefore we turn again to thee now, that thou mayest go with us and fight against the children of Ammon and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, If you bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord deliver them before me, then shall I be your head. And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, The Lord be witness between us, if we do not so according to thy words. Then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and captain over them. And Jephthah uttered all his words, before the Lord in Mizpah. He identifies himself here with Jehovah, and he utters these words. And Jephthah sent messages unto the king of the children of Ammon, saying, What hast thou to do with me, if thou art come against me to fight in my land? And the king of the children of Ammon answered unto the messenger of Jephthah, Because Israel took away my land, when they came up out of Egypt from Arnon, even unto Jabbok and unto Jordan. Now therefore restore those lands again peaceably. And Jephthah sent messengers again unto the king of the children of Ammon. And they said unto him, Thus saith Jephthah, Israel took not away the lands of Moab, nor the lands of the children of Ammon. But when Israel came up from Egypt, and Israel walked through the wilderness on the Red Sea, and came to Kadesh, then Israel sent messengers unto the king of Edom, saying, Let me, I pray thee, pass through thy land. But the king of Edom would not hearken thereto. And in like manner they sent unto the king of Moab, but he would not consent. And Israel abode in Kadesh. Then they went along through the wilderness, and compassed the land of Eden, the land of Moab, and came to the east side of the land of Moab, and pitched on the other side of Arnon, but came not within the borders of Moab. And Arnon was the border of Moab. And Israel sent messengers unto Sihon, king of the Amorites, the king of Heshbon. And Israel said unto them, Let us pass, we pray thee, through thy land into my place. But Sihon trusted not Israel to pass through the coast. But Sihon gathered all his people together and pitched in Jahaz to fight against Israel. Well, this man certainly knows his history. And he is quoting this history, even as it is written in the book of Exodus, in the book of Numbers, in the earlier portions of the Word of God. In verse 21, we go on, "And the Lord God of Israel delivered Sion and all his people in the land of Israel, and they smote them. And so Israel possessed all the land of the Amorites, the inhabitants of that country. And they possessed all the coasts of the Amorites, from Arnon even unto Jabbok, and from the wilderness even unto Jordan. So now the Lord God of Israel hath this possessed the Amorites from before his people Israel, and shouldest thou possess it? Wilt thou not possess that which Chemosh thy God giveth thee to possess? So whomsoever the Lord our God shall drive out from before us, them will we possess. And now art thou anything better than Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab? Did he ever strive against Israel? Did he ever fight against them? While Israel dwelt in Heshbon and her towns, and in Aroer and her towns, all the city be along the coast of Arnon 300 years, why therefore did you not recover them within that time? Wherefore I have not sinned against thee, but thou doest me wrong to war against me. The Lord the judge be judged this day between the children of Israel and the children of Ammon. Howbeit the king of the children of Ammon hearkened not unto the words of Jephthah, which he sent him. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed over Gilead, and he passed over Manasseh, passed over Mizpah of Gilead. From Mizpah of Gilead he passed over unto the children of Ammon." Now this brings us to verse 30. We come to one of the great difficulties in the Bible. I believe that this difficulty is more or less based upon an error of interpretation which continues with us today. I doubt if I will have time to any more than review it, and I hope I can bring you the solution of the problem, when we get into the next study. Here we read that Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord. He seems to have been a bit rash. The Lord was not asking for any vow, and he vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, "If thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hands, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me, when I return in peace and the children of Ammon, shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering." So Jephthah passed over unto the children of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hands. And he smote them from Aroer, even till thou come to Minnith, even 20 cities, and the plain of the vineyards with the great slaughter. And thus the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. So Jephthah, returning victorious, came to Mizpah unto his house. And his daughter came out to meet him, with timbrels and with dances. And she was his only child. Beside her he had neither son nor daughter. It came to pass when he saw her, he rent his clothes, and said, "Alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me. For I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back." And she said unto him, "My father, if you have opened your mouth unto the Lord, do to me according to that which has proceeded out of thy mouth, for as much as the Lord hath taken vengeance for thee of thine enemies, even to the children of Ammon." Well, she said unto her father, "Let this thing be done for me. Let me alone for 2 months, that I may go up and down upon the mountains and bewail my virginity." Now notice that. That's important to the explanation, "that I may go up and down upon the mountains and bewail my virginity, I and my fellows." And he said, "Go." He sent her away for 2 months. She went with her companions and bewailed her virginity upon the mountains. Nothing at all about any expecting to die or being offered up as a burnt offering. But it came to pass the end of 2 months that she returned unto her father, who did with her according to the vow which he vowed. And she knew no man. Of course she wouldn't. But it says it, and it was a custom in Israel. The custom was that the daughters of Israel went yearly to lament the daughter of Jephthah, the Gileadite, 4 days in a year. Now, this seems like a terrible thing. And it would seem that Jephthah was guilty of having offered his daughter as a burnt offering, the thing which God declared when other Israelites had done this, that he never once thought of such a thing, he never once conceived any such thing, never even entered into his mind. Now, what would be the explanation of this? And this is the thing that we must give consideration to in our next study. You can be thinking about that while you, I guess you'll be turning over the tape and to listen to the next side. I trust I'll have some things that will be of help on this. It's troubled many people, and many have written upon this, and I will read you some of what has been said. So we'll bring it to a close at that point. Take this opportunity to thank you for listening to what has been nothing more than a Bible reading, with a few comments offered now and then. It would be a very simple thing for me to try to bring in stories and experiences, but I'm performing this ministry to actually proclaim the Word of God, to give understanding if I can, and where nothing is needed, where the story just flows on, to learn to keep quiet and let God speak to you out of His Word. Well, that is everything for this time. Until we meet again around the page of God's book, I bid you goodbye, and I thank you for listening.